Today was it's gonna be an open house, but I wanted to share a couple of things. There was a Nick here that I was talking to earlier, and he was telling me that he was from Russia, and he talked about when you've lived through persecution in churches, you don't really realize what we've got. We have churches on every corner that we can go to, but there are people here that listen to us online because they don't have a church, and for some strange reason. James, isn't Russia like our number two? What? It's in the top 10. People in Russia listening to our podcast here on the website. Isn't that amazing? And we don't think about this, but you're touching people all over the world here. But I shared something last week, and I want to share this again because I feel like my favorite story and sermon that I've ever done a series on was the eagle, because it's personal to me. A lot of prophecies I've ever had, at least the prophecies I get over and over again, I'm an eagle. They're like, you know, I see you as an eagle. I'm like, of course you do. Everybody else says this. And there's things that happen in the eagle's life that are benchmarks. As Christians, we have a choice to either remove those things that aren't working, even though we've had them for a long time, or die. So as we're starting this, I really feel like this is what's happening to me, to our church. We're in a transition phase. We're going to talk about that a little bit. I'm going to do the open house just to kind of talk a little bit about us. I do this usually the first Sunday of the year, but we had some issues, and God knew, timing-wise, who was supposed to be here. This is our mission statement. I remember when this formed, we were at our third building at that time, with the gold walls. That's the first one you came to. And we were all in a circle. And actually, you know, Pastor Jenny, we love Pastor Jenny. And Pastor Jenny's like, we need a mission statement. I'm like, we do need a mission statement. So we sat around this circle. And we kind of came up with mission statements. What do we really feel like God is calling us to do? And we kind of came up with really basic. We could have had this long mission statement. But we felt like it really is connecting to God first, which in turn will this connect us to others and then impact our world. And so, and this is our vision statement, and basically it's the Great Commission, but those who are also disenfranchised with religion. Do you know so many people are disenfranchised with religion? And that hurts to know that they don't understand God is not religion. Proverbs 29:18 says, without a vision, the people perish. So we're going to talk a little bit about our vision. Now, we talked about our history. We got our 501c3, and then we moved to this current building in 2011. That's when you came. You were at the old building. I never forget this. So he at the old building of maybe a couple of months before we moved here. It was close to that time, a few weeks. We moved, and we had these green chairs that are over there. We have 50 of those chairs. And so that's what we had in the other building. So we moved over here, and it was a huge step of faith for us to move here because, you know, our building before was half this size, if even. So it's a Thursday, so we're like, if anybody can help us put these chairs together, because they didn't come together. We had to put these chairs together. And here comes this man with his big toolbox, and he brings out, you know, the drill and all the stuff, and Jay's like, oh, you have muscles. He goes, these are just for show. I never forget that. We put all those chairs together and put them in here, and we had carpet delivered because this place we had, if you would have saw this place before we got in here, folks, it was, if you think it's a little rustic now, you should have seen it then. So, I mean, this tile over here is what the whole thing was covered in. The insulation, fiberglass, all in the back here showing with some kind of a lattice work over it. Oh, it was beautiful, wasn't it? Everybody began to contribute, and it was a beautiful thing to see everybody come together and contribute. And underneath this platform, we wrote scriptures that, God, you're welcome in this place, before we put the carpet down, because we wanted the foundation to be his word, and that this was his place, and it was a special time. And even Jackson was there that night, somewhere in that picture. Some of us know where we've come from, and some of you don't. You just come here, and you become a part. But I can look back to those special times, and I didn't know this was going to be taking place now. We can trust God with our future because he knows what he's doing. where we're at. Our average attendance is about 87 people. For 2016, we had 24 people. We had 9 marriages. That's a lot. And we've had 7 meetup events. We're having another meetup event when? 21st. That's going to be right here, and we're watching a movie, and we're going to celebrate Pastor Jonathan's birthday. Meetup events are something that we started with our church. If you ever seen meetup.com, it's a worldwide internet site that has groups. So if you like to go scuba diving with, I don't know, Italian people, there's probably a meetup group for you. So I started this gay Christian meetup group, and I've got over 400 people in this group. How many people here came from meetup? Anybody? I know Tracy did, Mark did. You did? I didn't know that. It works. So what we do is once a month we have these fellowship meetups and people start coming. What a great tool for us to use. Now we pay every month to have that group, but I know it's worth it because we know people are coming. So our goal this year is to not just have 7, I want to have 12. So I'm counting on you guys to come to me. One of my favorite was last year when we did the painting. It was wonderful. He taught us painting. We all had our little pictures. Mine was the worst, but yours looked amazing. And it was a great time. So it's a time of fellowship. That's the connecting to people. Ministries, we have benevolence ministry. So we've helped people out. Counseling services. We've had the home groups, or we call them small groups now. We had the pride outreach. And one of the things that happened this year was our lease came up. And we had to decide what we were going to do. We decided to re-sign here for 2 years. Our rent went up a lot when that took place. We had so many people saying, oh, we need to move. Well, it's easy to say that. We looked around and prices changed, the market changed. There wasn't a lot that we could do. We did look other places. So we had the front door reversed for those of you who are OCD and say, I hate that door opening the wrong way. Yes, so we had that done. We had security cameras installed, so you're always on camera. Smile. You know our pastors, myself, Pastor Deb, Pastor Gina, Pastor Jenny, Pastor Jonathan, and Jane, who is our administrative assistant. Mama Jane, she does everything. And then we have our deacons. This is our board. So James, Karen, Christopher, and Robert. And I'm grateful for the board. They do the finance part, the operations part. We meet with those. Carrie used to be on it. Christine used to be on it. People have served. It's an opportunity in the church that they can actually use their talents and their gifts. So I'm going to ask Karen to come up.
All right. So I woke up this morning like, oh, my God, I volunteered for this. Because one of the most fun things to talk about in a church is finances and giving. And going back to what Pastor Keith said in our beginnings, I've actually been with this church for a while. Probably came in 2007-ish, somewhere around there. But I left college in 2006. I was struggling during that time, and it was probably about a year before I came to this church afterwards. And I know it so clearly, and that's what I wanted to open with, because I want you guys to think about what brought you to the Gathering Place Atlanta. I was struggling with my sexuality, but I was also struggling more so with, is God real? And so to have those two struggles going on at the same time was very difficult. There wasn't anyone that I could go to. So at the time, I had been running away from God for a long time, and Satan had a very powerful hold over my mind. I don't like to share it a lot, but at the time, I was bombarded constantly with thoughts of murder, suicide. So I was thinking it's not enough just to take my life. I was considering taking my family's life too. That's the place I was in spiritually. The Gathering Place Atlanta was the last hope for me. I am not naive to think that I'm the only person. So I ask you again, what brought you to the Gathering Place Atlanta? Because you have a story as well. We all probably pass 1,000 churches before we get to the Gathering Place Atlanta. So there's a reason why you're coming to this particular place. Okay. So let's talk about 2016 financial review, because this is the part where it's not fun. Last year was not the best year for us. We don't talk a lot about numbers in this church, so we kind of wanted to just break it down so that you know the services that we provide, having a building, paying rent, lights being on, sound equipment, all of those things cost money. All right, you may not realize how much it costs. So our average monthly income through tithes and offerings for last year was $10,933 and some change. All right, that's on average, you know, what we were bringing in each month. Our average monthly expenses was $11,965. So that tells you that on average, we were spending a little over $1,000 more than we were actually bringing in. Businesses can't survive that way. A church definitely can't survive that way. What I wanted to point out too is, James, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but most of that didn't actually start happening until August. So if we were consistently, you know, behind budget, you can better believe somebody from the board would get up here and say, hey guys, we got to cut costs. We got to do something. All right. We didn't actually start operating in the negative until August. So that's a large chunk of money that we lost, you know, that we started paying more money out as opposed to money coming in. So that's something that you guys need to be aware of. Because what happens in business, you know, you start losing money, you have to start cutting things out, right? We're a ministry. People's lives are on the line. You know, people have stories like mine. People have stories like yours. So there's things that we need to do to make this place work to where we can be here. We wanted to break it down. So we have operating expenses and ministry expenses. So operating is going to be rent, utility, insurance. Our insurance is probably going to go up because we discovered this year that we're actually underinsured. So all of these expenses are going to go up every year, just like it does with your own housing and things of that sort. On average, we spend about $5,300, $5,400 just in operations as far as rent, utilities, and insurance. For ministries, that's going to include salaries, paying our pastors, paying our worship leader, you know, paying for cleaning, stuff like that. Licensing, you know, we have to keep up our licensings for the software that we use for the different websites that we have to be able to broadcast and have podcasts and that sort of thing. So things that are reaching all of these different countries, they are not free. Okay, we have to pay for those things each year. Ministry budgets, if we're going to operate with King's Kids, if we're going to operate the sound system. You know, we've had to replace several different microphones. You may have noticed over the years that sometimes we had feedback, like we did this morning. Some of that has to do with our equipment, some of that has to do with sound levels, and some of that has to do with our location here. We have a lot of disruption between being so close to a TV station. All right, so sometimes we get equipment that has to be changed out, which happened this year, so that was a large expense that we had as well. There's also benevolence, so we're a church, right? We have people in this congregation, people that come to us that need help, and that's what we're here for, right? One of our biggest outreaches is the Pride events. So Pastor Heath wanted to point out the kind of the difference we had. So we downsized our booth, I believe, as far as the expenses. In 2015, we spent about $4,700 to have, I think it was like the three tents with the power and everything. And I think we had the same impact with that, and we spent half the money. So there's stuff like that that we're looking into as a board, along with the pastors, as far as how is our money effective? You know, if we can be just as effective paying half as much, that's the smart thing to do, right? We want to make sure that we're taking what God has given us and being good stewards. So if we are giving money to a ministry and it's just not having an impact for this church, and that may not be where God wants us to be, we may need to look at what is it that God wants us to do particularly. So we have a lot of tough decisions as a board that we need to look at. I don't know what that. Oh, you're telling Chris. Okay. I thought you were telling me wrap it up. I'm like, I'm on slide one. Okay. All right, for those of you that want a breakdown, if you are business person, financial person, you just kind of want to see our financial spreadsheets, those are always available to you. Right now we have numbers through the end of November, so some of those numbers were projected to include December's numbers. Next week we'll have the final 2016 numbers, so if you're interested in looking at that, just ask James. So our budget for 2017, when the lease came up, and we had to decide as a board what we were going to do with that. We all prayed about it for a little bit, right? Because it wasn't something that we just choose to do. Most of the decisions that, you know, hopefully all the decisions that we make, we pray about it first. We want to go in the direction that God leads us. And we all came back with the same answer, that God kind of led us to sign a two-year lease. How many of you operate in business or business financials kind of in and around this area? Anyone look at P&Ls? Okay, a few of you. Well, I've worked in several offices in and around the greater metro Atlanta area, so I've seen what rent and operating costs are like for those different types of buildings. So It may seem like we pay a lot of money in rent, paying almost $4,000 in rent. Seems like a lot of money, right? The property managers here have given us a break for a very long time because we are a church. But at some point, they're also a business, right? So they have other people who want our space. And us signing new leases, they've increased the rent a little bit. We still do not pay nearly as much as our neighbors do, all right? So we still have God's favor in that area that we don't pay as much. So even though you see, you know, $3,800 rent each month, you know, it seems like a lot. It's not. Still a lot of money when you're operating in over a $1,000 per month deficit. But you have to think about, you know, what's the alternative there? And we'll talk about that in a little bit. So in 2017, this upcoming year, it's going to jump above $4,000, all right? So rent's going to increase to $4,997. Our average utilities are $928 a month. So as a board member, I'm like, what can we cut? Do we really need internet? Do we really need anything? Do we really need lights? Can we do candlelight? You know? There's a monopoly on the internet here. So those are things that we as a board, we have to look at. But we also need everyone here to understand what it costs to operate. But also what I'm looking for you guys to do is to, again, think about what brings you to TGPA. Why are you here every week? What are you looking to do? Are you coming just to receive? Are you coming to turn around and help the next person up, the next person that was the me? I spent 2 hours one way on MARTA to get to church every week, and I lied to my family about it. That's how important it was for me to come here. I know there are other people sitting in this church with that story. To me, it just kind of blows my mind a little bit when people are like, oh, it takes so long. I was like, church was my entire day. I spent 2 hours just to get here and then 2 hours to go home. And that was when church was at 6 o'clock at night. So finances don't look great, right? That's a little grim looking. That's not fun to look at. But I want to make sure that we stay connected to our goals. This is about people's lives. This is about following God. So I want to connect all of this back to our mission statement. Connecting to God in 2017, if we don't stay focused on these goals, we will not succeed as a church. We need to stay focused on these goals. Connecting to God, that means as individuals, we need to stay connected to God. So what is it that God is calling you to do? What is it that God is calling you to give? Before I started volunteering in the sound booth, before I said yes to the board, I was listening to Joyce Meyer one day, and she said, when you are thinking about where you can serve in your church, you know, if you can't serve anywhere, give. If there's nothing else that you can think about doing, give, so that the people who have been called can do what they've been called to do. All right, so we have pastors in this church, right? So if we as a congregation, if we're not giving to where they can do what they are called to do, then they're going to have to get money somewhere. They still have bills. So if we have to start cutting salaries, what do you think they're going to have to do? They're going to have to spend more time at their jobs, which means they're less focused on connecting to God, connecting to others, and impacting our world. Okay, so we have to think about that as a congregation. So if you are busy in your life, and I've been there where I was too busy to come every Sunday. I was thriving in business. And God was saying, you're thriving in business because I need you to give. All right, so I took that on as my calling. Like, I can't serve here and there, and I don't have the talent to do this, and God help everyone if I ever try to play a guitar and sing. But I could give. I could support this ministry, right? And a lot of people probably didn't even know that I was doing that, but that's what God had called me to do. So first and foremost, we need to stay connected to God and what he's calling you to do. We need to connect to others. When I first came to this church, I was very confused why everybody wanted me to meet Pastor Keith. I'm like, I've never sat down and met with a pastor in my life. Why you keep pushing this on me? That's a whole nother story. But I had questions of, is God real? Can I believe in this? This was my last hope. It took people investing in me and my friendship. I did not come for friendship. I came for answers to questions. I came for some kind of beacon of light that my life was not over. And it took people like Christina. It took people like Cassie, which most of you probably don't know, who poured into my life throughout the week. So if you're also coming just every week just to socialize with friends that you already know well, then you're missing that connecting to others. There are people coming in here with stories just like yours and just like mine that are getting missed. That maybe they're not staying because they're not feeling that connection to others. They can't feel that connection to God, and they need your help. So again, it's very important. What is God calling you to do? And then impacting the world. You know, if we don't have the finances coming in, what are we doing in impacting the world? As far as the building fund goes, this year you're going to hear a little bit of talk about the building fund because we did sign a two-year lease, which means our lease is going to expire in August 2018. We were looking at a couple of different options because the building doesn't meet our needs. For those of you that have been to Sunday school, which is an excellent ministry, and a lot of people have grown through Sunday school, it's difficult, isn't it? When everyone's out in the foyer and there's different sound. How about the people out in the foyer? It's a little awkward when there's 50 people in the foyer and you're told, shh. You're like, I just got here. I just saw these people. You know, I haven't seen these people in 2 weeks. It's not meeting our needs, right? We need both of those things. We need the fellowship before church, but we also need people who maybe they didn't grow up in church and they didn't grow up learning the Bible and they just need, you know, they need Nicole to help guide them through what does this mean, all right? We need a building that facilitates both of those things, all right? The kitchen, you know, one way to bring in income in a church is to hold weddings. We had how many of them? 9, all right? But we don't have a functioning kitchen, all right? So that means that we can't really have a lot of weddings here. We're not going to bring income that way. So we want a full kitchen. We also want to do potlucks and stuff like that when you're talking about meetups. Who remembers the spaghetti fiasco? All right, I was told to not mention that. All right, so we could have used a kitchen, all right? Okay. And then again, sound interference from the TV station. Okay, so that affects us every single week. I don't know how, but that's what Bert says, and I'm going with it. Bert and Chris Sabo. And there's nothing that disrupts the Spirit of God moving more than piercing, high-pitched noises. That immediately takes you out of worship. And so the couple of different options with our lease being up in 2018, we have an option to buy. Who knows how expensive that is? Just so that the rest of you guys know, in order to buy a church with roughly, we would need at least 5,000 square feet. You're looking at not in this area, first off. So that means some of you guys that have to drive, you would have to drive even further, and we'd be outside the perimeter. You're looking at a minimum of $750,000, closer to $1 million. Okay, so what's the down payment on that? You're looking at $100,000 to $150,000, and we operated with a negative $14,000 last year. We are not even close. Some churches, you know, are given large endowments to begin. We don't have that kind of backup. So it'd be a miracle of the Lord Jesus if we get that this year to buy a new building. I'm not saying it can't happen, but it would take a lot of movement from God for that to happen. But that is something that we want to eventually do in the future, all right? So that's something that we need to begin to work towards. There are habits that have to change and things that need to happen for that to ever be in our future. So do we lease new space? That's a viable option, all right? So, but if we lease new space, then that means we need to have a fund to build things out. So Pastor Keith was talking about how this was basically just a warehouse, and you had to put in carpet. We had to buy new chairs. We had to put in different floorings. I know we've switched that flooring out because it was damaged. You have to build, I guess the sound booth probably wasn't there. If this was an office with wall space, this stage was probably not here. All of those things cost money. So if we are going to lease a new space, not only would you need the down payment for the rent, but you also need the money to be able to build it out the way that we would need it to be. So God's laying it on your heart that, hey, you're in real estate, or you know how all that works, or you're in construction, you know where the wholesalers are, then keep your ears out because we're going to be talking about a building fund. And then the other option, which we may have to do out of need, would be to extend the lease. And again, every time we do that, it's going to go up astronomically because they've given us such a huge break for such a long time. So where do I fit in? How can you help the Gathering Place Atlanta reach its goals in 2017? A couple years ago, we had a home group. God laid this on my heart to share. where we cover the book Francis Chan's Multiplying, right? It's about making, I wanted to call it Making Disciples because that's really what it was, right? As I was reading that book, and if you were in the Kennesaw Home Group, this will be, you know, repetitive for you. But God really laid it on my heart that making disciples was about investing in people. So that's what I want to ask you guys. How are you going to invest in people this year? Who are the people you're being called to invest to? So in Matthew 28, verses 18 and through 20, I'm not going to bring it up there, but I want you guys to remember the Great Commission. All right, so that's the church body as a whole across the entire earth. We were called to the Great Commission. What's the Great Commission? To go out into the world and make disciples, right? So we need, in order to do that, we need to go out into the world and we need to invest in people. We need to invest in people here and we need to invest in people outside of these walls. I want you to seek God and commit. Now, this is the part that is really not fun for me, asking you guys to commit. Because you're going to have other ministries come up here and talk about needing volunteers and that sort of thing. And one thing that has kind of really struck me is that when ministries are asking for volunteers, they say, if we get X number of people, you only have to serve once every 2 months. Why does that strike a chord with me? Because it's very easy, if you're serving once every 2 months, to say, I'm not really needed. It's very easy to say, well, they have all these other people. It's okay if I don't show up on the date I signed up for. That's not commitment. So I really, really want you guys to think about that. You know, I want you to seek God and find, where should I commit? Now, that's not saying that if you sign up for something and decide this is not where I'm called to be. I thought maybe it was, but I'm not pigeonholing you into something. If you don't know what you're good at or what you're, you know, what you should be doing, the best way is just get out there and try, and then you're going to kind of figure out whether, okay, maybe Children's Church is not for me, or, you know, maybe the sound booth is not for me. I really like being around people. I got to tell you right now, I'm an introvert. That's why I like the sound booth, okay? Works for me. But there are some people who just really want to talk to people, and so the sound booth, maybe that's not the best place for you. Maybe greeting is the best place for you. The proper way to handle that is to talk to the leader and say, hey, this is not really a good fit. Or I'm just going to bring up Blake. You know, you served in the sound booth, right? You did very well. You had a life change where you moved your job changed and everything, and it just was not going to work with your schedule. Blake handled it the right way. He went to James and said, hey, this is going on. This is going to have to be my last month. Something to that effect, right? We were able to adjust for that. So know that if something is not working as you volunteer, it's okay. No one's going to say, hey, I don't like this such and such person anymore. They quit on me. We just need communication. That's how you work together. God laid this on my heart as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through 31. And again, I'm not going to go through it, but this is about the body of Christ. Okay? So if you are struggling with where you fit in, go back and study this verse and pray about it, because we all have different talents. We all have different skills. And if we each try to do the other, then the body doesn't operate properly, right? If the eye is trying to hear, it's not going to work out so well. So just really, really think about that, because you may think that you don't have the talent or the skills to be plugged in, but you do. I was walking this morning and praying about, okay, God, I have a million things that I could say and want to talk about. Which ones do I choose? I was praying to God, you know, I've never been in a church where everyone was expected or needed to volunteer. I've always been in a church where there was a staff that handled everything and a congregation that got to sit and receive. And God's response to me was, how dead were those churches? So if you are in that place where you feel like, I don't know what I can do, I pray that you will take some time to pray about it and listen to God, because you're needed. Your commitment is needed. Your service is needed. Your friendship is needed. Your investment in others is needed. I think that's all I have.
Amen. As far as giving, we have several ways you can give. The website, PayPal. Most of you actually give through PayPal. Shows our age of our church. And then we have Square. So we have Square in the back. You say, you know what? I didn't bring my checkbook. We can talk a little bit about worship ministry. Pastor Deb leads the worship ministry. So if you ever want to sing a special or have something that you wanted to share, please see her. She'll arrange a time, and we can do it in the offering service. You guys do a great job, and she's one of those who there's a commitment with the worship team. And I love our worship team, and I love the fact that she's able to use different people, but they're here every week, and you guys do a fantastic job. Sunday school. Now, I stole these from Facebook. You know, some of you, and I'm like, Earl, I couldn't find anything of you because I take no selfies. I'm like, ugh. I'm so excited about Sunday school starting January the 29th because one of my favorite books of the Bible, Daniel, is going to be, we're studying that. And Nicole's going to be leading that. If you've been with Nicole, she's a phenomenal teacher. She has a passion to teach. And so I'm really excited. And Daniel's going to be a very, very good book for everyone. Isn't that exciting? Couples counseling, Pastor Jenny's Chester. Gina is still, I always get them confused, but so do they, so that's okay. She is still doing couples counseling, so if you know you're getting married, get in touch with Pastor Gina. She's very, very good at that. King's Kid Ministry, we have someone who's leading King's Kid now, Trent. Woo! He's probably back there right now leading. So what a great guy. And a dad, he's got kids, so he's perfect fit for that. And he's came to me saying, I really feel like God's calling me to do this. So I love that. We've had tons of volunteers wanting to teach. And once we get the curriculum, we're talking about you, man. Once we get the schedule out, we'll have a regular rotating. We'll have the training. I promise you, we're going to meet this week and go through the training, what we're going to be doing. So you're going to have all those resources. We pay every month for a service with our website and our children's ministry. So we have lessons already done. There's a video every week on the TV. All of that is actually already being paid for, already done. But we are really excited for Trent to lead that. And then youth ministry, whenever we have youth, they've all grown up. I know, when Connor will be our next one, they've all grown up, but what an impact it has. So kind of funny, I don't know if you ever noticed, and you probably don't, I'm a little weird about this, but every time he preaches, all of those youth are always here that Sunday. Sylvia's kids, they're always here. Every time you preach, I just think that is so interesting that you were their youth pastor as youth, and every time you preach, they're always here. Not that they even know you're preaching, but it always tends to happen that way.
Just real briefly, and first let me say that for youth ministry, we have amazing volunteers like Michael and Ryan and Emily and Charles. We just need some kids. So please invite people. Let them know that we have a thriving ministry, and we have great ministers, and I'd love to start doing some things. So invite those kids. Our prayer ministry, we have seen some amazing things, as Pastor Keith said, in prayer. If some of you may remember Thursday night intercession that we would have here years ago. And during that time, one example, when Karen Lepo and Pastor Keith had the exact same vision from God to pray over Jeff, who was in the hospital paralyzed. And the next day, I think you went, prayed over him, and the man was walking out of the hospital within a week. God did some amazing things during those times. Some real healing happened. Some neat things have happened as we've transitioned into a Sunday morning. But we're just, again, with limited space, with a desire to see true intercession. We're going to rework this. And so I'll be reaching out to some of you that really have the true gifting of intercession and talking about what that's going to look like this year. So stay tuned.
Stay tuned. So excited about that. And then audio video ministry. If you want to help and volunteer, we've got somebody can take Blake's spot. You can do that back there. All of that takes place. Do you know we have a podcast of the sermons? How many of you have downloaded the app? Okay, most of you know. So there's a great app. Yeah, we're hip, man. We've got an app. Got all the messages, everything. So connecting to others, meetup.com, I mentioned that. Aren't those pictures great when they painted? I thought they did such a great job. I would love for you to do that again. So can we do that again this year and schedule it for one of the meetups? It was so much fun. Mine is hidden somewhere, but those all came out really, really well. And then we also have had fellowships and things like that. Our next meetup is going to be when? 7 p.m. next Saturday. We're going to have a movie here. So we'll have some food, bring a dish, and we'll have some fun in here. So a small group, I'm excited about this too. This is a power couple teacher group. We're going to have it at the church. We used to call them home groups, but honestly, nobody wants to open their homes any longer, which I completely understand. Thank you for opening your home, but it's a lot to have people come over every week because your house has to be clean. The kids have to be, your dogs have to be put away. It's a lot. The church is here all the time, so we decided let's just speak with one small group. We will have everybody come together who wants to study the Bible, and we have Carrie Runnels, who's amazing, and then Nicole will be hosting these. And we're starting on the 25th of January for a small group. Earl and Matthew, who will be starting a men's ministry. And did you want to say anything?
A couple years ago at another church I was attending, we did a book by John Eldridge called The Way of the Wild Heart. And it essentially goes through the different phases that a man will go through from boyhood until the age of 70, 80 years old. And so I feel a great calling of reclaiming masculinity for gay men, essentially. So it'll be every other Saturday, I believe, starting sometime in March, for about 6 months. So it's a little bit of a commitment. And there is a lot of opportunity for fellowship and just growing with one another and forming kind of a bond and a brotherhood with each other.
Excited about that. If the women want to start one, come see me. We'll start a women's ministry as well. And then the next is Coffee Hospitality Ministry. The coffee ministry started this morning. Oh, you're back.
I love spiritual gifts. That's something that I could probably talk a lot about, too. But I have the gift of hospitality. And if you don't know much about it, it's really great. Look it up. But I also do a lot with coffee. It's kind of my job. I love what coffee does. It just brings a sense of fellowship. And we talked about coming in the morning. Now we're opening up the sanctuary in the morning before church. So if you are interested, it's Sunday morning, an hour or so before church. You'll help set up if you want to bring any kind of pastry or dessert type item for people to snack on beforehand. It's also a great opportunity. And it really is just fostering that sense of home. Great way to meet new people and just fellowship.
And he works at Caribou Coffee. And so he gets free coffee for us. So they give him every month. And so, again, we're liking these things. The board is getting happier. Food Fund Fellowship, so we have the potlucks. Michelle actually helps us lead that. So once a quarter, we have a potluck. Sometimes more if there's a special event. They've been great. And she is so gifted at this area. I mean, she amazed me when she's like, just get out of my way. Just let me do it. And she had it all done. We'll be announcing those. And as we go a little bit more, we're going to have a prom. Everybody's excited. How many of you went to a prom with someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how many of you are gay and went to a prom with someone of the opposite sex? Okay. We're calling this a second chance prom. We had one a while back and it was a lot of fun. But how fun is it? We actually hung a disco ball in here and people got tuxes and dressed however they wanted to. We had photos. We're going to have a prom coming up. We're looking around, but we're going to have that prom night. So I'm excited about that. So just know that I need a committee. I've got a couple of people, but I need maybe two more people to be the prom committee, and we'll have that coming up. Isn't that fun? Impacting our world. Pride, of course, every year we do Pride. We'll be doing that again this year. How we connect. So we have our website, lgbtchurch.com, so that's pretty clear who that is focused to. The other one that we have is whosoeverchurchatlanta.com. So we are really wanting to branch out to those who are not just LGBT or Q. Want those who are just disenfranchised with religion. So you know what? I don't identify myself as LGBT, but I identify somebody who really is disenfranchised with religion. I just want to connect to God and be a part of the whosoever. So we're really going to start focusing on the whosoever. You're going to see more whosoever in our newsletters. We're going to have the purple. It's going to go that theme. You're like our shirts for Pride. So we're going to go with more of the whosoever things. The newsletter is going to change. We see the open rate of newsletters. We get the stats of how many people. I know who opens newsletters because it shows me the email addresses that are opened as everybody puts their head down. And Jane works very hard every week to send these out. So we're changing some things up. We're not going to send you a regular weekly newsletter anymore. We are going to just send out when there's special things taking place, any events that you're going to get those things. And those of you who serve, we're going to have another place that you can look and see the schedule for who actually is serving that week. But when there's special events taking place, those newsletters will go out. And those who are leading the special events will talk more about that. You need to make sure you get that information to Jane in a timely fashion so that she doesn't have to do it at the last minute. you know, Natasha Christina, she's in marketing and she's telling us some really great ideas as well. So I'm listening to people who know what they're doing as far as that's concerned. So you'll see some changes with that. And you've got our website. And how many hits? I think is it on the next slide? So I have no idea what this means. Can you come up and explain this?
What we're looking at here is all the Google Analytics for our website. We have 101 countries visit our website last year. Top 10 are over on the first column there on the right. Of course, the first is U.S., then the U.K. Russia is third. And it goes to Germany, India. We also have 7,583 visits, over 15,000 web page views were done last year. The second column there actually is our referrals, which search engines refer to us the most. Of course, we have Google.com is the first one. They actually beat everybody else 2-1 in forwards to our website. We have, of course, Bing and everybody else that actually does searches there as well. So new visitors shown there. We have 70% new visitors to our website last year. 30% were returning. Smartphones access is, of course, outpacing desktops by 2-1 accessing our website and the mobile app. And then, of course, we have some age distribution there as well as gender. Our top 10 pages, of course, is the homepage. Sermons is the second. And third is leadership. So that's just some stats from Google Analytics.
Thank you for that. Here, where do you fit in? That's our open house, just to kind of let you know where we're at in a lot of areas. I'm excited about some things that are taking place. I am trusting God for other things. He knows. But the bottom line is, you are part of us. And we love you very much. And I'm going to actually have the ushers finish with the offering now. That's okay. Father, we thank you. Ooh, we thank you that you, God, take care of all needs. And we trust you for this. We just ask you to multiply the money as it comes in, that you lay on our hearts what to give, how much to give, that you continue to multiply it. Use us, Father. Redirect us, focus us, and use us. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.